An enemy did this, he replied. The servants asked him, Do you want us to go and pull them up? No, he answered, because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring them into the barn. Ted, I'm lost. I'm sorry. 18 to 23. That's over the page. Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. And he answered, The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stand for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. In your prayer books then, on page 139, the Nicene Creed, what we believe as God's people. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit he was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Would you be seated?
And you may remember we looked at that well-known parable of the sower, the seeds and the soil. And this morning, the parable which Margaret has just read to us, it follows immediately on from that, straight from one into the other. Another earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Now, when Jesus explained to the disciples the meaning of the parable of the sower, how the listeners would responded, or rather didn't respond to his words, you may remember I said there was three groups. Those hard-hearted, the ones who were sort of interested, but those who were ready to embrace Jesus' teaching and follow in his footsteps. And as to this last group, the ones who want to follow Jesus and be his people, it's this group that the parable this morning is being directed. It clearly shows how good and evil exist side by side in the world, in the church. Jesus wanted these people to be very aware of that, not to be disillusioned when they came up against bad things. Now, the story itself, it's very straightforward, isn't it? You've got the farmer, and he sows his seed in the usual way, and at the same time an enemy comes, and he sows weed seeds in the same field. And that this has happened doesn't become apparent until the plants have grown, when they've got up to a reasonable size. And then they can see that not everything growing is wheat. There are these weeds there too. And the servants, the farmhands, they want to go in, rip the weeds out straight away. But no, said the farmer, no, you won't be able to do that without disturbing the wheat. Leave it until we harvest and we'll separate it all then. Now, all of us who have a garden, well, at least I do, know that no matter how much you dig the weeds out, they continue to come, don't they? If you can give me something to get rid of the weeds, we'll retire on the income. Weeds come naturally. But in this case, it happened because the weed seeds were sown. They had been put in, deliberately sown. And sad to say, actions like that were not uncommon in days gone by. They saw it as an act of revenge by a disgruntled person against the landowner, and there were laws against it. Now, if somebody upsets, I mean really upsets me, really gets under my skin, I may well think, I'm going to do something about that. I may think that, I don't say it, hopefully. But hopefully also I don't do anything about that. I get over it. I let it go. And I go on my way. But in India, the direst threat a man can make to somebody else is, I will sow bad seeds in your field. It actually happens. It happened then, and it happens today. So we see, as usual, that the parable is true to life. The weeds. Well, they were probably bearded darnel, indistinguishable from wheat or barley whilst it is growing. But it had to be separated on the maturity, for the grain was poisonous. As the crop was reaped, the reapers would put the wheat to one side, and all the weeds, including the darnel, would go to the other side. And even after threshing all the grain would be spread out, and the women and children would sit down and go through it and pick out the darnel seeds which had found their way in with the wheat. They were a grey grain, so they were easy to see against the ripe wheat. Now, that story was real to life. As I said, happens today, and it certainly happened in Jesus' day. As usual, he's using familiar things around his listeners to teach them, to lead them from what they know to what he wants them to know. So, what's the parable all about? Well, Jesus tells us, doesn't he, in that the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed, the sons of the kingdom. The weeds, sown by the evil one, the enemy. The harvest is the end of the age. In this parable, the farmer is the owner, the sower, is clearly Jesus. The parable of the sower was not real clear. Here it is, clearly Jesus called the Son of Man. The field? It's our hearts and minds. Our hearts and minds and the hearts and minds of the people who are listening and taking in all that Jesus is saying. For it is they in whose hearts and lives that the seeds grow, and then they are called the sons of the kingdom. We would call them Christians. The bad seed, which grows into the weeds, direct result of the enemy, the evil one, the devil, Satan. In the field, it's the world, this planet Earth on which we live, and it's God's world. He created it and all of us living on it, the good and the bad. And the harvest, that's the last days of the world, the last days when there will be the sorting and the separating and the judging. So that's what the parable's about. But what does it mean? What was Jesus teaching those who were listening to him on that day? And more importantly, what is Jesus saying to us gathered here this morning? Well, actually he's saying the same thing. What he said to them, he says to us. His words are timeless. They for all men and all women in all ages and all places. Firstly then, Jesus is saying that there will always be powers hostile to God in this world. That's what he was warning the people then. Don't expect everything to be rosy. There is always power hostile to God. There will always be evil men in this world. Today, yep, we don't have to look very far, do we, to see it. We have this, the IS fighting in the Middle East, dreadful ongoing strife in Syria, for instance, where various other countries want to get their fingers in the pie. We have suicide bombers in various capital cities in Europe. We haven't had one here yet. Let's be thankful for that. There are people being shot at random in churches, in shopping malls. It is just dreadful. Killing indiscriminately. But evil is more than that. My dictionary defines evil as morally bad, wicked, harmful, very unpleasant, inconsistent with the moral law. So you see, evil is not always big, outrageous acts. It's also quiet, insidious, bad acts. And that brings it down to our level. And it seems to me that Jesus is saying here is to warn us not to despair when we are surrounded by these things. For our world, our society is full of evil people. And sometimes, don't we wonder, why doesn't God do something about it? One of the great mysteries. Secondly then, Jesus is saying that evil people are not always easy to pick. Oh yes, yes, the suicide bombers and all that, they're very plain, blatant, clearly seen. What about here in Australia? Here in Penshurst? Are we not surrounded by good, ordinary people? Pay their taxes, send their kids to school, work hard, do all the right things? Oh, yes. We're surrounded by them. Good people. Yes. But are they God's people? And it's hard to tell. Very hard to tell. What they do, what they say, how they live is fine by society's standards. But how do they measure up to God's standards? They are not evil in our eyes. But how does God see them? Thirdly then, since they are hard to pick, to see what is good, or rather who is good and who is not good, we must be careful not to make snap judgments. It's dead easy, isn't it, to make a snap judgment. And this so often can lead to a rash action. Remember the farmhands? They were ready to go, boots and all, get in, rip it all out. No, 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 no. They would damage the good as well as the weeds. And so often a hasty action, following a hasty, uninformed judgment, brings disruption, heartache, injury, untold damages. And following this teaching through about snap judgments and that, we see that God alone has the right to judge. You see, he can see it all. We can only see it in part. There are times, yes, when we do have to judge and we do have to act. But we must be very careful, carefully and prayerfully, and always with a view to repentance. You see, a weed is a weed, and it always will be a weed. It always has been, and it always will be. It couldn't change. But people can and do. Tolerance toward them, patience with them, can, or should I say, possibly, make a change. A change where that bad seed that's growing within them will die. The bad seed put there by Satan will wither, and the good seed sown by God will grow and flourish. Yes. And God will judge. Yes. God will judge. The day will come. He will judge. Remember at the end of that parable, they reaped everything. Wheat went onto one side. What happened to the weeds? They were destroyed, burnt with fire, perished. The wheat was gathered into the landowner's barn. And Jesus said, "The righteous shall shine like the sun in the kingdom of heaven." Yes, God is in control. And those who do get away with evil actions now will be repaid in God's time, this world or the next. That reading from Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 32:36. The Lord will judge his people, have compassion on his servants, when he sees their strength is gone and no one is left, slave or free. When I sharpen my flashing sword and my hand grasp it in judgment, I will take vengeance on my adversaries and repay those who hate me. Strong words. Strong words, but true. It makes it quite clear. Quite clear. Good and evil will exist side by side in this world. Blatant evil and subtle evil. But God will deal with both when the time comes. Now sadly, we all still have a bad seed in our lives. It may be tiny, but it's there. Mine is impatience. And that sometimes results in a harsh word or thought on my part. And I struggle to try and keep it under control. Not much success, I must admit, but I try. If I didn't struggle, it would grow and choke the growth of the good seeds. If you don't keep weeding your garden, the weeds will take over. You know, Jesus died on the cross to get those bad seeds out of our heart. But we have to work with him to do it. He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. Let me pray. Gracious Father, we know that we are far, far, far from perfect in your eyes and our own eyes. Father, give us the grace and the strength to admit our shortcomings. Give us the grace and strength to work on those bad seeds which linger in our heart. Give us grace and strength to nurture and get the good seeds to grow, that we may be your people, holy and solely. For we ask in your Son's precious name. Amen.